We will be looking at topic, message, the gospel and our sanctification. I'll be basing this mainly on Romans chapter 6, although in this particular preaching, I'll just be highlighting some themes in this chapter, in this book. We will not be delving deeper, but I hope and pray that through this less than an hour or so, I'll be able to bring to us this particular theme, the gospel and our walk of sanctification as believers. And if you are not yet a believer in Christ, I hope and pray that you would see the significance of the gospel in your life so that you too might truly acknowledge how God will continue to work in you, in your sanctification. And let's open our Bibles now in Romans chapter 6. Brethren, let's read this chapter. Okay, para makita po natin yung buong tema at konteksto po sinasabi po dito ni Apostle Pablo. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Verse 8, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over Him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lusts, and do not go on presenting its members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall no longer be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that you, when you present yourselves to someone as slaves to obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? Either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart, so that from that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to iniquity and lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were freed in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things which you now are now ashamed? For the outcome of the things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification, the outcome of eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God for His Word. Labing beses na po natin ito, we've come across these verses, I believe, especially verse 23, di po ba? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And precisely, brethren, yun po ang naging buhay po natin bilang mga mananampalataya. Bago po tayo na kay Kristo, sabi po niya, the wages of sin is death. Okay, because of our sins, we were supposed to die, and we will die, okay, physically. But praise God, because of the merit of Christ, because of what Christ has done, as the free gift of God, there is now eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And as we continue on with our life and our walk as believers, ano po ba talaga ang nangyari sa atin? What actually happened when a person says he's saved? Ano ba talaga nangyari sa kanya? Okay, when we look at these verses, brethren, and we began to recall what really happened to us when we came to Christ and we declared our faith in Him and have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and repented of our sins, and we began to understand what salvation really means. And we say, yes, I am already saved. But what does our salvation truly entails? Is that salvation merely just one-time experience? And we say, well, I'm already saved, so I can do whatever I want. I'm already saved, so there's no longer, whatever I do here in this life doesn't matter anymore, okay, as far as God is concerned. Okay, is it really true that when a person is born again, okay, masasabi po natin na pupunta po tayo, didiretso na po tayo sa langit? Okay? Pero ano bang ibig sabihin talaga ng ating kaligtasan? Okay, when it comes to sin, when it comes to our relationship with sin, how does this precious gospel bring us to this place, brethren? Let us remember that the same gospel that leads us to salvation is also the same gospel that leads to sanctification. So ang bawat mananampalataya, pag nagsabi ka na ikaw ay ligtas na, ikaw ay Kristiyano na, hindi po natatapos po doon. Hindi po natatapos yung iyong paglakad kasama ng Panginoon. Hindi po natatapos ang iyong pakikipaglaban sa mga bagay na kasuklam-suklam sa Panginoon, lalo na pagdating po sa kasalanan. Totoo po, mga kapatid, na tayo po ay niligtas ng Diyos mula sa kasalanan. And indeed, okay, totoo nga po na nangyari po yun sa atin. We'll be explaining that in a while, brethren. But here in Romans chapter 6, we know the Apostle Paul was dealing with this question, okay, this rhetorical question. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we, who died to sin, still live in it? Kaya dito pa lamang po, mismo si Paul, sinagot na po niya yung kanyang katanungan. Doesn't more sin increasingly magnify God's grace? Does grace promote sin? The answer is, okay, Paul said, certainly not. Okay, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? He was very emphatic in declaring that, brethren. Certainly not. May it never be. Don't ever think that way. You who died in Christ, you who died to sin, must continue to acknowledge that fact, must continue to realize that you cannot use that grace to justify sin. You cannot use that same grace that led you to Christ to say, I can continue in sin, or I can live my life whatever I want, or however I want to live it. Or I can still go back to my old sins. I can still continue. I can still do the things that I loved doing. Okay, without necessarily or losing my salvation. Ganun ba ang tingin po ng iba sa kanilang kaligtasan? No, brethren. Paul says, you know better than that, brethren. You know better. Because the same gospel that has saved you, the same gospel that you've heard, will continue to be the same gospel that must be preached in your life. That must continue to be planted deep in our hearts, because Paul declares, yes, brethren, we died. Okay? Please notice the tense of this verb. We died. We died to sin. And if we continue in our discussion, how can we, who already died, sabi po niya, how shall we who died to sin still live in it? If you died, what happens to you? Okay, you no longer respond to anything. Even kahit anong gawin sa'yo, no? You no longer respond to anything. Kahit sugat-sugatin pa yung katawan mo, there's nothing that you feel anymore. And then he continued, do you not know that all who of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Okay, look at the language, brethren. We have been baptized. And what does baptism entail, brethren? Being one in Christ, being united in Christ, being immersed in Christ, being truly in Christ, brethren, being able to know what it means to be buried in his death, brethren. Okay? We died and we've been buried with him. And of course, kita po natin yung symbolism po ng baptism po natin in Christ. If you've been buried with Christ, then you are 6 feet under the ground. You've been buried. You've been placed 6 feet under. Okay, minsan po, nagmamadali na po tayo. Diba? Ng resurrection. Okay? But praising God, indeed. Because of our unity with Christ, sabi nga po niya, therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So that we too might walk in newness of life. He's still talking about our baptism, our death, and being buried in Christ. But realize, brethren, how it had led us because, or where it had led us because of Christ's resurrection. Verse 5, sabi po niya, for if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. The kind of language that he used here, brethren, be died, baptized, buried, okay, done away with, crucified, no longer slaves, freed from sin. That speaks of the reality, brethren, of our union with Christ in the way that we truly died in our sinfulness. The sin that we used to love, we now hate. The sin that we've been used to all throughout our life before we came to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these things, the old self, the old nature, we said, brethren, has now been dead, has now been buried, has now been crucified, has now been set free. He's done away with that sin. And death is no longer master over us. How did we die to sin? You know what happened to us. John 3:3, we were born again, unless a man be born again. We were made alive, Ephesians 2:5. God lavished on us His grace so that we were made alive. We were transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of His beloved Son, Colossians 1:13. You know, all these realities, brethren, point to the fact of what happened to us. The old self had died. The old you, the old vices of sin, the old lusts that you used to be engaged in, the old selfishness, the pride, the hatred in your life, the lying, all of these things had been crucified in Christ, and now we were made alive. We were forgiven of those sins. We know that, brethren, the forgiveness of God. In other passages, we know of His past forgiveness of our sins. We know of His present forgiveness if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He has forgiven all our sins in Christ, even our sins in the future, brethren. That's how the Lord views us as dead in Christ. That's how the Lord looks upon us as people who belong to Christ. That forgiveness has been applied to us. Now we were delivered from wrath. We have been set free from wrath. The wrath of God against sin. The wrath of God against sinners. The wrath of God to the unrepentant. The wrath of God upon the unregenerate, those who are not yet in Christ. The wrath of God abides in them. But to us who are in Christ, we are no longer bound to experience that wrath of God. Why? Because that wrath fell on our Lord Jesus Christ. That wrath was received by the Lord Jesus Christ when He died on that cross. And He was praying, "Father, take this cup from me." Jesus drank the bitter cup of God's wrath, brethren. And now we were reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5:18. We have been reconciled to God. That reconciliation entails God taking the initial step, taking the first step, brethren, of sending forth His Son who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. If you continue the argument in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we have passed from death to life. John 5:23. As you have believed in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have passed from death to life. Although, brethren, there's future aspect of that for us. Okay, tandaan po natin ang ating pong kamatayan ay totoo na nangyari. Ang ating pong kamatayan ay tunay po na nangyari kung tayo po ay na kay Kristo. Sometimes we just right away just skip the fact that we died and realize, oh yes, I'm saved, I'm okay, I'm alive. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. Yes, truly, brethren, we are grateful for that. But understand first how you died. Because when you understand your death, you realize, as you go back to that fact, you begin to realize the things that you are doing right now, the things that you are pursuing right now, and you realize, why am I doing this? Why am I still leaning on these things when in fact the Bible described me as dead in Christ? You know Galatians 2:20. I'm sure you've memorized that from heart. But if you have not yet done so, kindly please memorize Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. In Christ, believers died to the guilt of sin. They died to the reign of sin. And they died to the dominion of sin in their lives. The kind of things that we commit, brethren, of the sins that we still commit, okay, we know for a fact that it will continue to lead us to feeling guilty, to experiencing the guilt and the weight of sin. Brethren, can you imagine living your life being weighed down by guilt? And that's why the Lord Jesus invited or called people to come. Come unto me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. The weariness and the burden there is not only the burden of day-to-day suffering and day-to-day difficulties, the burden and the weariness, they're burden that Jesus speaks about, even in context. That's why He calls us to come, and that's why He calls people to come to Him. Come to Me. Why? I will give you rest. I am your Lord. I am your God. I am your salvation. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The guilt that we experience, brethren, is real. And that's why we cannot excuse sin when it comes to us, when it affects us, when it convicts, when the Lord convicts us of sin and unrighteousness, when our conscience accuses us, and of course Satan accuses us of our sin and our sinfulness and the guilt that we carry, truly must be recognized. But then, brethren, we need to understand that through Christ, again, we remind ourselves, in Christ, the sins have been forgiven. The guilt of my sin was carried, was brought by Christ, was nailed to the cross by Christ. Sin no longer reigns in my life. Christ is. Christ is. I am no longer a slave to sin. I am a slave of Christ. I belong to Christ. He is now my master. He is now my Lord. And that's why whoever says he is a believer in Christ, he is saved, must understand that salvation did not only require you to accept Christ as your Savior, you are also to accept Christ as your Lord. You also are to recognize His Lordship over your life. Hindi lamang po ito, okay, saved na ako, pupunta ako sa langit, hindi na ako pupunta na impyerno, pero halan lang, hindi ko sasabit yung ibang buhay ko kay Kristo. Doesn't work that way, brethren. When we have come to Christ, we know that we died in Him, and we know that we are done with sin, and that, of course, as we confess our sins, okay, we recognize its effect and how we must apply in our lives the death of Christ. And that's why Paul speaks of our being alive. Okay, look at the second part of verse 11. Sabi po niya, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. That's the whole point of the first part, brethren, being dead to sin. And then the second part, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. He would go back and forth, brethren. If we died to sin, then we live in Christ. We are alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body to obey its lust. And do not go on presenting your members, but present yourselves in God as those alive from the dead, as, remember, instruments of righteousness, for sin shall not be your master. You are alive in Christ. God's grace, indeed, brethren, promote holiness and godliness in us. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works. Not from yourself. It is the gift. Not by works, so that no one may boast. But look at verse 10, brethren. Paul did not stop by declaring, by grace we have been saved through faith. He did not stop and say, well, praise God, we are already saved and we can do whatever we want. No. Because verse 10 really brings us to the reality of our experience as true believers. If you have been saved by grace through faith in Christ, you know that it's not your own. You know that it's not from yourself. You know that it is the gift of God, the faith that you have, the grace that you experience. That same grace will promote that holiness. For we are His workmanship created in Christ to do good works, which God had prepared in advance for us to do, or that we should walk in them. The same grace that saved us is the same grace that enables us to do the works that God had prepared in advance for us to do, brethren. Turn with me to Titus. Titus was quick, or Paul was quick to point out this to Titus as the leader of the church, to call on the people of God to adorn the gospel message, to manifest their salvation in Christ. Now, ang gospel po, nung natanggap po natin, mga kapatid, ang ebanghelyo ng Panginoon, meron pong ibinubunga. Meron pong pagbabago sa buhay po ng mananampalataya. Meron pong idinulot na transformation. Hindi po ito ang isang tao na nanampalataya siya kay Kristo, pero wala pong bunga sa kanyang buhay. Wala pong pagbabago, pareho pa rin. Of course, wala pong pagbabago sa mukha, maaari, masasabi po natin. Pero ang isang tunay na mananampalatayang Kristiyano, ang dami pong nabago. In fact, doon na lamang po, di ba? You are a new creation in Christ. From a caterpillar to a butterfly. That's what happened. Totally new. Totally new nature. From a caterpillar to a new creation butterfly. Hindi po ito yung evolution na tinatawag from unggoy to tao, from amoeba to fish to a land creature to an animal, or to becoming an ape until you became a human being. The transformation that took place, brethren, was a turnaround experience in the Lord. It is once and for all experience, but it did not stop there, brethren. That once for all experience must be nurtured, must be recognized, must be lived out. That's why in Titus chapter 3. Nawala na ako talaga. Sorry, chapter 2 po. Sorry po. No. I should have placed that. Mukhang nabura ko po nung nilalagay ko. Chapter 2. Okay? Ito po yung tama. Chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. Okay? The grace of God appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for every good deed. Or for good deeds. Look at the language, brethren, the grace of God. That is a foundation for us. The salvation that we have received is the grace of God appearing for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. It came to us as a gift from God. It is a free gift of God, bringing salvation. But this also instructs us, denying all ungodliness and worldly desires. No to sin, no to ungodliness. And then it says to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. In a positive way, brethren, it calls us to live sensibly, righteously, and godly, looking for the blessed hope, anticipating the coming of our Lord, who gave Himself for us. And He continued to redeem us from every lawless deed, and to purify for Himself a people that are zealous for good deeds. Okay, He's zealous for good deeds, brethren. Now that we are in Christ, we can promote. Bakit tumigil na, bro? Ayan, sorry. J.I. Packer declares this, in reality, holiness is the goal of our redemption as Christ died in order that we may be justified. So we are justified in order that we may be sanctified and made holy. Okay, when we speak of holiness, brethren, we are not yet done. We're not yet done. There's still a lot of things to pursue. There's still a lot of things for us to do. Kaya nga po, yung isang aklat po ng isang author, si Jerry Bridges, Pursuit of Holiness. I'd like to recommend that. The pursuit of holiness continues for us believers. God saved us from our lawless deeds in order to make or to purify a people for Himself that are zealous for every good work, that we may be blameless before Him, to be made holy and blameless in His sight. Ito pong panawagan ng Panginoon para sa atin. Hindi ka niligtas para hintayin mo na lamang pagdating ng araw, pupunta ka sa langit at bahala ka na kung anong gusto mong gawin sa buhay na ito. You cannot presume on your salvation because the direct effect of that salvation, the goal of that salvation, the goal of that redemption is that you might be made holy, so that you might be sanctified. Salvation, brethren, is the beginning of the process of removing sin and its effects from our lives. First, we say that in justification, we were declared righteous before God once for all. The penalty of sin is removed as we are declared righteous in Christ. Now, these terms, brethren, we must know by heart as believers. Huwag po tayong matatakot po dito. Huwag po nating baliwalain. Ito po mga terms po na ito na natututunan po natin, na naririnig po natin. Once we know of that salvation, we speak of justification. That's the first part, brethren. And that's why to show someone he is saved, we need to show the implication of that in that person's life. The penalty of your sin had been paid for by Christ on the cross. And that now you've been declared righteous in Him. Not because you are righteous. Not because of your good works. Not because you are good in the sight of God. But because of Christ who died, whose righteousness was imputed upon you. And yes, brethren, at regeneration, when we were given the new birth, we know that the power of sin is broken and we are made alive in Christ. Praise God. Namatay ka at binuhay ka muli ng Panginoon. Yung unang mong paghinga, the regeneration that you experience, praise God, sin and death were dealt with. Okay, but there is that present aspect of that aspect in our lives. We will still die, but definitely because we are in Christ, we will receive eternal life. And not only that, brethren, when the time of the resurrection body, your body, you will be given a resurrection body. But that's still future, brethren. But now that you are already in Christ, recognize that the new life that you have right now is capable of saying no to sin. The new life that you have now is the one that should dominate your entire being. And it follows, brethren, that in sanctification, the pollution of sin is progressively removed as we are made holy in Christ. The pollution of sin, we know as we go on with our walk, we will get dirty. But once we have bathed ourselves, the Lord Jesus talked about that, being bathed totally doesn't mean that when you walk, when you go out, you'll not get dirty. But that's precisely because we have to go out, we have to walk, we have to do the things we needed to do, we can still commit sins. And this is where our sanctification continues. We are being made holy in Christ. And finally, brethren, when you talk about salvation, it's not just justification, it's not just regeneration, it's not just sanctification. Also talks about glorification. And when we talk about glorification, the final stage of that salvation means that the presence of sin will be done away with as we will be with Christ for all eternity. We will be with Christ for all eternity. That's what will happen, brethren, in the presence of the Lord. Sin will no longer have any effect on us. In fact, totally we will be separated from sin. Totally we will be separated from the presence of sin. That's why in heaven there will be no longer sinning. There no longer be any mourning for sin and suffering. In the presence of God, brethren, we all experience our perfection, the final stage of that salvation that we have in the Lord. Ganun po kakompleto yung ebanghelyo ng Panginoon. If you go out there and then preach the gospel to people, please make sure as you share this with them, as you allow them to know and get to understand Christ dying for the penalty of their sins, do not forget how they've been given a new nature in Christ. And that new nature will now continue on to grow in the likeness of Christ. Grow on to maturity until we reach our final destination. Until we attain into the fullness of Christ, being freed from sin. Now, why then do we still sin as believers, we ask? Because sin's effects and influence remains in our lives. Andito pa po tayo eh. Iyan po hiwaga po ng ating pong kaligtasan. Pagamat sa isang banda, sinasabi po natin, ligtas na po tayo at patuloy pa rin po tayo naliligtas at maliligtas po tayo in terms of the finality of our salvation. These things, brethren, present to us the reality of our present circumstances. We all struggle with lust. We all struggle with pride. We all struggle with hatred. We all struggle with anger. We all struggle with certain sins in our lives. And if we're not careful, brethren, the battle rages first in our hearts. And then po, namamanifest po yan, okay, sa ating pong pananalita, sa ating pong pagsasabi, o sa ating pong paggawa, sa ating pong pakikitungo, sa ating pong kapwa. And if you're not careful, brethren, okay, part of us, okay, will be affected, will be influenced by that remaining sin. Okay, maalala po natin, mga kapatid, hindi po ito yung old nature, but new nature. Okay, analogy. The new nature that we have in Christ must continually be reflected upon. Yun po ang kailangan na ma-remind po tayo about, brethren. Yes, we are still capable of sinning. We are still capable of committing sins. Even though the sin, brethren, the singular sin, the noun sin in our lives had already died, the effects of that sin are still with us. The influences of that sin continues to haunt us. Even though once and for all, the Lord died, or we died in Christ. Brethren, the reality of our being, or our decaying, brethren, and the smell and the odor continues until finally, nandun po tayo sa final stage ng ating pong kaligtasan. And that's why Paul declares this. Go back to Romans chapter 6, brethren. And let's wrap this up. Romans chapter 6, verses 19 to 23. Sabi po niya, I am speaking in human terms because the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Kunung dati, wala kayong magawa kundi mag-say yes to sin. Okay, yun ang buhay ninyo, yun ang nature ninyo, yun ang mahal ninyo, yun ang kagustuhan ninyo. Ngayon na kay Kristo na kayo, do not go on naman presenting your members. to obey its lusts. Why? Because you now have the new nature that says, this poison you're ingesting, you have to throw it up, to throw it out. You have to remove its effects in your life. You have to be able to cleanse your body in the sense that these things still flow in our system, brethren. Our thoughts, the process that we think, the way that we speak, the way that we talk about certain things. You see that in Romans chapter 7. If you continue Romans chapter 7, the things that I do, there are the things that I do not want to do. But the things that I do not want to do, those are the things that I do. And Paul was in a dilemma, so to speak. But he was not saying, brethren, that he was powerless over those things. All he was describing was the dilemma that we all experience in our lives. The lawlessness resulting further in lawlessness. That's why there are still people, okay, who are really, quote, even though they're Christians, seemingly, hindi ho nila ma-overcome yung kanilang kasalanan. They're in bondage. They place themselves, again, in bondage. Enslaved, again, to sin. Why? Why is that? If you have been set free, the prison doors are open. The chains have been broken. And you can go out if you want to. You can say no if you want to. But the only thing is, when we obey its lust, doon po nangyayari yung kasalanan. But when you look at your members as slaves to righteousness, sabi po niya, resulting in a life of sanctification, then you will be able to withstand those temptations. John MacArthur declares these words, sanctification is the continuous operation of the Holy Spirit in us believers, making us holy by conforming our character, our affections, and behavior to the image of Christ. Kaya po kailangan, unawa po natin ang bunga ng banal na Espiritu. Kaya po kailangan, okay, tayo po ay patuloy na depende po sa Kanya, sa buhay po na. We'll look at this in a while, brethren. Jerry Bridges also declares this in similar statement. Sanctification is the continuing work of God in the life of the believer. It is a progressive work in which we become more and more free from sin and be like Christ. Being more and more free from sin's influence, you know for a fact of the kind of responsibility that you must do as a believer so that you be like Christ. That's the positive side. Iba po yung pag-iwas at paglayo sa kasalanan. Iba rin po yung paghahangad para sa mga bagay na mabuti at matuwid. Whoever hates sin must depart or must love righteousness. When you look at the Bible, there are a lot of significant statements that speaks about whoever loves God must hate sin. Whoever knows God must be divorced from sin. Whoever follows God must turn their back on sin. The other side of repentance, we say, is faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. There are two sides of the same coin, brethren. When we follow the Lord Jesus, that means we're done with sin and we're continually pursuing Christ. We become more and more free from sin and be like Christ. In short, our actual lives become increasingly conformed with our justification in Christ. Look at the words progressive, increasingly conformed with our justification. We are justified by grace, so we are sanctified by grace as well. We are justified by grace, so we are sanctified by grace as well. The key difference is that in justification, we are passive in a sense. Wala po tayong idinagdag sa merit ni Christ. When the penalty of sin was paid for by Christ, you did not contribute even 1% of your own righteousness. It is Christ's righteousness alone. But in sanctification, we actively cooperate with the Holy Spirit in receiving and responding to God's grace. We cooperate, okay, with the Holy Spirit. That's why we must be filled with the Spirit of God. And that brings us to this first point, brother. How does sanctification happen? First, our continually reliance, relying upon God, our continual reliance, upon the Holy Spirit. Kindly remove yung li. Continual reliance upon the Holy Spirit. The will of God is for your sanctification, said Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. You want to know the will of God? Paul declares it clearly. The will of God is for you to be sanctified. The will of God is for you to be in Christ, to continually live out the holiness of God in Christ. Understand this, brethren, we belong to God and we belong to the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 7. For God has not called us to impurity for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Okay, verse 8. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but God who gives the Holy Spirit. Okay, pakiadda lamang po yung verse 8. And then 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. Paul declared this also, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. Corinthians 3, we with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the likeness of Christ. And we are being transformed by the same Spirit from glory to glory. Brethren, I cannot overemphasize this in our lives. We have the Lord in us. And that should be enough motivation for us. John Calvin declares, the only good we do is what He does in us. It is not that we do nothing ourselves, but that we act only when we have been acted upon. In other words, under the direction and influence of the Holy Spirit. Under the influence. Again, remember, sin affects us. Sin, in its influence, tries to persuade us to still have its way or still have the sinful way in reaction to certain circumstances in our lives. But by the Holy Spirit, brethren, by His direction and by His influence in our lives, by the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, we can do what God wants us to do. We can act as you're supposed to act. Secondly, we have the conviction of who Jesus Christ is and who we are in Him. By His doing, Christ has now become our righteousness, our redemption, and our sanctification. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. So that he who boasts, boasts that he knows Christ. Remember Romans 8, 29? For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed into the likeness of His Son. Remember who you are. Understand the conviction of who Christ is in your life. If He is truly Lord, then He must be obeyed. He must be followed. If you have been redeemed in Christ, then live that out because you are already in Him. Holiness, then, is His glorious life. A glorious life of Christ in us as believers. It is His life in us as believers. So that if any man be in Christ, you know that you are now in a new creation and you are to be holy, made holy. Tozer also says, for the true Christian, the one supreme test for the present soundness and ultimate worth of everything religious must be the place our Lord occupies in it. The supreme test, he said. The ultimate test is the place our Lord occupies. Is He Lord or just a symbol? If you say you're a Christian, is He your Lord or is He just your symbol? Is He in charge of the project or merely one of the crew? This is a question we need to ask ourselves continually. There were those people who profess to be believers in Jesus Christ. We say we are Christians. What is the place that Christ occupies in your life? Is He Lord or just a symbol? Is He your God? Is He your master? Or is He just some religious ideal or idea that you have embraced? He is your Lord. Okay? He must be Lord. We live and walk by Christ's power then, not ours. It is Christ's power. I no longer live, Paul said, the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. All believers are spiritually united to Christ in such a way that their spiritual life comes from Him. Their spiritual life comes from the Lord, knowing that you are united. And lastly, brethren, we must commit to appropriate and live out God's work in us. Just as you have received Christ Jesus, brethren, work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Colossians 1:29. For this purpose I labor, striving according to His power, which mightily works within me. His power that works within me. Brethren, pursue holiness. Paul said in the writer of Hebrews, declare without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue holiness. Why? Because you have been given that life. You are already in the Lord. Continue to remind yourself that. J.C. Ryle, in sanctification, every believer is responsible. Whose fault is it if you are not holy, but your own? On whom can you throw the blame if you are not sanctified, but yourself or themselves? God, who has given them or you the grace and a new heart and a new nature, has deprived you of all excuse if you do not live for His praise. I hope that we take that to heart. You have the responsibility. You say you are saved, then prove it. You say you are saved, then continue. You say you are saved, then you must appropriate His work in your life. And whose fault is it when you sin? Whose fault is it when you do not become holy, but your own? You do not blame anyone else but yourself. Though God has given you the grace, God has given you a new heart, God has given you a new nature, and you will have no excuses at all. Wala na pong excuse sa isang mananampalataya. Let him who boasts, or let him who thinks he stand, take heed, lest he fall. But he said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But with the temptation, He will also provide a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Hindi ko na po nasulat po dito. What is it then that will keep us going in the face of internal conflict? Huli na po ito. What is it that will keep us going in the face of this dilemma, in the face of this continuing struggle, in the face of this daily battle against sin in our lives? Brethren, the answer is the gospel. It is the assurance in the gospel that we have indeed died to the guilt of sin. Kaya nga po, meron po tayong pagkakataon na pakinggan at unawain patuloy ang Ebanghelyo. That there is no condemnation for us who are in Christ. Romans 8:1. There is no longer any condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Just make sure that based on what I presented to you, that you are already in Christ Jesus. That you can pass the tests of the proof that you are saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved as far as God is concerned, because you show evidence through your life. And that the Lord will never count our sins against us. Brethren, we are truly delivered from the reigning power of sin, which will motivate us and keep us going even in the midst of the tension between the spirit and the sinful nature. I say sinful nature, the sinful influence that still are in us. If we are believers in Jesus Christ. We know that we'll continue to deal with sin and its reign in our lives. Horatius Bonar said, "The secret of a believer's holy walk is his continual recurrence to the blood of the surety, Christ, and his daily communion with the crucified and risen Lord. All divine life and all precious fruits of it, the pardon, the peace, and the holiness spring from the cross." Spring from the cross. You go back time and again. Every day as you wake up, or even if you're struggling with sin, recognize how Christ died for that sin. Lord, you died against his pride, Lord. You died against his unforgiveness. Lord, you died against his lust. Lord, you died against this jealousy, this malice, this anger. Lord, you died against his lying. Lord, you died. And you were raised again to give me life, Lord God. And give me, Lord, the peace and the pardon, Lord God, from those sins. Therefore, when we are under the conviction of sin, when we realize we have failed God one more time, perhaps even in the same sin, we must resort to the cleansing blood of Jesus. We must go back and appropriate it, Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for how you are cleansing me from my sins. Yes, Lord, I have died to sins and I was cleansed once and for all. But Lord, on a daily basis, help me to depend on you. Help me to know who I am in you. Help me, Lord, to work out my salvation with fear and with trembling. Lord, realizing how much you paid for these sins. It had resulted in your death, Lord, from the cross. And how can I not impress that upon my heart? And the hymn declares, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And it can be applied to those of you who are not yet in Christ. Nothing can wash away your sin but the blood or the death of Christ. Nothing can make you whole again but Christ and his death on the cross. So we must preach the gospel to ourselves. Jesus, by his death and his shed blood, completely satisfied the justice of God and the claims of his broken law. We broke the law. We have sinned against God and we continue to break God's law for as long as we live, brethren. But by his perfect obedience, he positively fulfilled all the requirements of that law. And that's why the obedience we now have belongs to him. Lord, I obey because I love you. Lord, I obey because I know you. I have the fear of you in my heart. I obey because, Lord, that is who I am right now. I belong to you, Lord. And nothing can remove that, Lord God, that truth. To preach the gospel to yourself, Jerry Bridges declares, then means that you continually face up to your own sinfulness and then flee to Jesus through faith in his shed blood and righteous life. You flee to Jesus. Go back to the cross. Go back to Christ again and again. It means that you appropriate again by faith the fact that Jesus fully satisfied the law of God. That he is your propitiation and that God's holy wrath is no longer directed to you. It's no longer you who will incur the punishment for those sins. Jesus did it all for you. It is the death of Jesus through which he satisfied the justice of God and averted from us the wrath of God and is the basis for all God's promises of forgiveness. Still, Jerry Bridges spoke. It is the basis of all God's promises of forgiveness. Any forgiveness you experience is from the death of Christ. When you set yourself seriously to pursue holiness, you will begin to realize what an awful sinner you are, and therefore you are continually under God's grace. The more you sin, the more you realize, "Oh Lord, what an awful sinner I am. Lord, I need you day by day. Help me, Lord, to know that I am under your grace every day." And if you are not firmly rooted in the gospel and have not learned to preach it to yourself every day, you will soon become discouraged or even slack off in your pursuit of holiness if you are not firmly rooted in the gospel. That's why the title of this message is The Gospel and Our Sanctification. And I close with this, brethren. John Newton again says this. Remember what he said the last time? Okay, that he was a wretched sinner, and that he recognized he is who he is by God's grace. Ito pa rin po siya sabi po niya, when I was young, I was sure of many things. Now there are only two things of which I am sure. One is that I am a miserable sinner, and the other, that Christ is an all-sufficient Savior. He is well taught who learns these two lessons. Take note po sa kanyang statement, I am a miserable sinner, and that Christ is an all-sufficient Savior. And that continues on in our lives. Even when we are already saved, even when we realize that the salvation that we have in Christ is already complete, praise God, we can continue to walk recognizing who Christ is for us. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we are so undeserving of your mercy and grace. What precious salvation you have bestowed on us on the cross through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we have no part in that. You have given your life for us totally, Lord God. And you have declared, Lord, it is finished. It is paid in full. Lord, indeed, the reality of that, Lord, has been applied to us in our justification, in our redemption. But Lord, that truth also continues, Lord God, to fill us and inflame us, Lord, to devote our lives for you, to pursue holiness. Because of what you've done, Lord, because of your holiness, we are motivated to be holy. Because of your holiness, Lord, you wanted us, Lord, and commanded us to be holy ourselves and to continue in the work of sanctification, O God. Father, we are grateful indeed that you have the power, Lord, to lead us forth in this life. We are no longer powerless against sin because of who you are. Not just of how you died and how we have been crucified in Christ, but how we have now lived in Christ. We no longer live, but Christ lives in us. Thank you, O Lord. And now we are no longer slaves of sin, but slaves of righteousness and sanctification. And finally, Lord, there will be glorification. And we await for that time. We will be seeing you, Lord, face to face in your presence. And we are done with sin. And we already, Lord God, had been, the presence of sin had been lost and done away with for all eternity. Thank you, O God. Thank you for all that you've impressed upon our hearts, Lord. Let this truth continue to lead us. Let this truth continue, Lord God, to grant us, Lord, the opportunity to live daily for you. Not by works, but by grace. Thank you, O Lord. Glorify your name even, Lord, as we give our tithes and offerings. Thank you for all your children have come, Lord. Thank you for all those who listened to this message. I pray that you'll be the one, Lord God, to also work in their hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would constantly, Lord God, watch over us and lead us to glorifying you always in our lives. Thank you, Father, even as we give our tithes and offerings, help us to give with faith. Help us to give, knowing that you are the greatest giver. You have not withheld your only begotten Son. And Lord, the most precious gift of all, Lord God, you did not withhold from us. And the things that you freely grant to us, Lord, are merely but bonuses for us, Lord. Help us to give generously. Help us to give with faith. Help us to give with love from our hearts. You know the needs. You know the concerns in this church. And you know, Lord God, how to use these, Lord, to continually expand your work, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glorify your name, O God, on account of all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning po. God bless us all. Thank you for joining us.